It was a little different story with Lisa's family. And I guess they took in a stray. I remember Jack reading this the first time, and it still sends waves through me. So let's pray I get through this. Luke 2. And I need my glasses. And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there went out the same, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill be toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen and was told unto them.
Amen. Thus is the reading of the story. I've told this story before that when I was in junior high, eons ago, that I had a teacher, Benita Hunter. Did anybody have Benita Hunter as a teacher? It was my privilege to get to have her twice. And she made us memorize a poem every week, to recite it in front of the class every week. Gettysburg Address, Flanders Fields, Daffodils, whatever. She had us memorize a poem. One of the things she had us memorize was the Luke 2 Christmas story. And I still honor her for that because I'm able to quote the Christmas story because of a teacher I had in junior high that had us memorize that Bible verse. She also had us memorize a verse out of Song of Solomon. So as Dan said, it's always been a part of our story. It's always been a part of our Christmas. We read it every Christmas morning with our family or when our get-togethers and things like that. What he didn't say is that after Dad would read this story, then you had to go around the room and everybody had to tell something that they were thankful for. Anybody in here thankful for anything today? Amen. I hope you have something to be thankful for. You may not be thankful for everything that is going on in your life right now, but the scripture says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. So that when we learn to be have a thankful heart and give thanks, even in the midst of whatever scenario, whatever situation, we realize that we look for favor and the blessings of the Lord. I just want to speak for just a few minutes to you. I know we have children and they're not in Sunday school, and I know we can only handle just what, you know, our children can handle. So I just want to give you a few thoughts this morning, and then we'll go. But one of the things that stuck out to me as I was reading this week and thinking about the songs that the ladies did, Believe Four of It. How many are thankful for faith? And how many are you thankful for the power to believe? I mean, you got to believe in something. You got to believe in yourself. But above that, you got to believe in the power of God, that regardless of what we hear, we see, or what we know that there's a higher power. We know that there's a God who hears and answers our prayers. Has anybody had any prayers answered this year? We've had some miracles. We've had some answered prayers. We still have some that we're believing God for good reports. Amen? And so when they read the scripture, said, and Mary, when she connected, we talked about the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and how that God met with Zechariah and Elizabeth and said, your prayers have been answered. And God gave them a son named John. When it seemed like it was beyond the realm of possibility, God stepped in, and as Galatians said, in the fullness of time, right at the right moment, right at the right time, and God spoke and said, your wife Elizabeth is going to bear a son, and his name's going to be called John. And it wasn't long that he makes the journey to Mary's house. And he said, Mary, you're going to be overshadowed, and you're going to give birth to the Messiah. And she says, how can these things be, seeing I'm a virgin, seeing I know not a man? He said, what I'm getting ready to do, Mary, in you has nothing to do with man's ability. It has everything to do with the power of the Holy Spirit that will overshadow you. And when the Holy Spirit, I want to tell somebody this morning, the Holy Spirit will supersede what the natural man has to say. So regardless of what you know in your mind or in your flesh, in the natural, this doesn't have to do with the man. It has everything to do with what the power of the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you, and to bring through you, Mary, the Emmanuel God, God with us. I thought about all the kids that are here today and the different ages and things that are here. And do you know, one of the most powerful things I think about this story is that God entrusts the Emmanuel God to a teenager. Yeah. Come on, somebody. If you don't believe in any other miracles, you need to believe in that miracle, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. And so God began to speak. How many know John was a baby? He began to speak about a baby. How many know our children are important? And our children have giftings and callings, and you don't have to wait till you're grown up and 35 to decide what God has called you to do. He called Samuel as a baby, as a young man in the temple. He called Esther. He called David as a young boy. He called Mary as a young girl. God uses us when we yield ourselves to him and said, Lord, here am I. Yeah. And we make our hearts available. We make our giftings and our talents available, and when we do, God will use you at whatever age, whatever space of time. You did not waste too much time. You did not come in too early, because God has purpose for your life, and it just might be something that for generations, people will call you blessed. And he begins to overshadow Elizabeth and Mary, and when he does, he sends her down to the house of Elizabeth. When she finds out that Elizabeth, her old cousin, is with child, she gets ready, goes down, and at the sound of Mary's salutation, I want to say something to you today. Andy already ministered a little bit this morning on this and said, find someone to give. Find someone to bless. Find an opportunity to plug in and be a gift to somebody this year. Yep. You know, when Mary got to the house of Elizabeth, it said, at the sound of the salutation of her voice, there is something powerful about what comes out of your mouth. But when you begin to open your mouth and declare what the Holy Spirit is speaking over you, and you begin to speak, and you begin to come in connection with somebody that's got something stirring in you, all of a sudden she said, Mary, at the sound of your salutation, when the word word is clear, when it's anointed, and when it comes from the Holy Ghost, it's going to cause somebody's baby to leap. And when it causes your baby to leap, you can't talk me out of God's promise. I might not have known for sure in 5 months, but 6 months when that baby gig begins to move, there's something that causes that connection. That's what coming together in the house of the Lord does. Do you know it's the salutation of our voices that causes something inside of you to come alive and to leap? We talked last Sunday about the power of Joseph in the story. How Joseph plays a part. We don't know a lot about the life of Joseph. We don't hear a lot. It's supposed that he's already passed by the time Jesus goes to the cross. We don't know a lot about him, but we know that his mandate was to facilitate the call of God that was on Mary's life. If Joseph did nothing else but get Mary to the place and the time and the calling of God in her life. We sometimes think, well, I'm not called to anything great. You might be called just to be one to help facilitate the calling that's on somebody else's life. I mean, no, it was Joseph's responsibility to either put her away or to keep her. I mean, no, it took some God in Joseph to say and to be obedient. It took Joseph to get them to Bethlehem for the census. It took Joseph to get them to Egypt for protection. It took Joseph's dreams to get them. Joseph had 4 different dreams that God came to him and told him what God was going to do in the life of this child. How many know sometimes your calling just might be to facilitate the calling that's on somebody else's life? Amen. Come on, somebody. We think bringing our kids to church is no big deal. It's a big deal. I mean, because it's here that they'll hear the call of God in their life. It's here that they'll hear the call to come for salvation, to get filled with the Holy Ghost, to find out they have talents and giftings and anointings that are purposeful for the house of God. We don't say in this church that this is the generation of tomorrow. If you wait, that's too late. I mean, no, everybody in this church is the generation of today. Hallelujah. And so we teach worship and we teach the word and we teach serving and we teach giving and we teach all of those things because it's in the heart of a child that God placed the Emmanuel and brought forth his purpose. And she says, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Do we have any believers in here today? Any believers in here today? The song that they just said, believe for it. Hey, now I'm a believer. Is that a song? Y'all date yourself? Is it the Monkees that sang, hey, I'm a believer? And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Anybody in here got some promises of God in your heart? Yeah. That God has spoke some things over you that maybe have or have not come to pass. Maybe some of you are sitting beside some answered prayers today. Maybe some of you are already rejoicing in the promises of God, and some of you are still waiting for God to fulfill all that he said. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Only God can turn a manger into a palace and a dark place into the light of the world. A desolate place into the glimpse of Messiah. How many know that the arrangements for Mary and Joseph were not very accommodating? Do you ever really think about it? Think about the power of Christmas. You think about the situation. The world was in turmoil. Sound familiar? It was chaos at Christmas. People were taxed to the max. It was taxing times. They went down for a census and went down to be taxed. It was crowded. Travel was hard. She was 9 months pregnant. If you think 9 months pregnant is hard, try 9 months pregnant on a donkey. Amen. 4 miles and miles. Yep. It's hard enough to get there sometimes in a car, ladies. Come on, somebody. 9 months. God, your timing, 9 months. You couldn't have done this when I was 3 months. You couldn't have done it when I was 6 months, but 9 months on a donkey? Do you ever question God's timing and God's favor before? Pregnancy hormones. Travel plans messed up. Packing suitcases to stay who knows where. Traffic. You think airports and subways are rough? Try riding a donkey at 9 months pregnant. Didn't God have better timing than this? No reservations means no room. Cramped quarters with relatives. Animal smells. No pine trees. No sugar cookies, bacon. No Christmas candles. Labor pains. And where is her mom? Did you ever think about it? Come on. She's a young girl, pregnant, 9 months, on a donkey, heading to Bethlehem with a man who's not her husband. And where is her mom? Nothing magical, but there are some times in life that you stand alone. And right in the middle of chaos, God births something incredible in you. He shows you a way. He brings you a visitation from heaven. And the army of heaven is declaring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Fear can make you want to distance yourself from the thing that will save you and the world. God never intended for Joseph to stay in an inn. He didn't forget to make reservations. He didn't forget what day it was or what month she was in, because when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth of a woman and birthed a baby. God never intended for Joseph to stay in the end. God may have blocked some paths for you so he can take you to the place that he designed for you. Favor doesn't always look like favor. Thank God for some closed doors. The inn was full of people. The inn was full of people. It was probably full of that other stuff too. Yeah. I'm so glad you guys are listening. If I couldn't tell if you were awake, now I know. The inn was full of people who were full of stuff. It was full of people who was not part of your plan or your destiny. Not everyone is meant to be in your future. Trust God to sort those things out. They weren't meant to be in the inn. God had something greater, something bigger, and something better. Don't be frustrated when you don't get invitations to the inn when God designed a manger for you. Micah 4:8 says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom, shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Thou, Bethlehem." Micah began to speak of Bethlehem and say, "Out of you shall come a ruler." 700 years before the birth of Christ, the Jewish prophet Micah foretold the birthplace of the Messiah. It was called the Tower of the Flock. And so many times we talk about the stable and we talk about the inn and we talk about how there was probably donkeys and cows and chickens and sheep and all of those things there. And they make a pretty Christmas card and they look good in programs, but it's quite possibly not the true story. Because when he prophesied the birthplace of the Messiah, he said it would take place in the Tower of the Flock. The Hebrew word is Migdal Adar, which was first mentioned in Genesis 35:21 in connection with the death of Jacob's wife, Rachel. In ancient times, it was also a military watchtower to view the valley near what was later called Bethlehem. From Bethlehem in Solomon's day until the time of Jesus' birth, it became the functioning tower of the flock. It was there at the Tower of the Flock. It was there where the sacrificial lambs were prepared and the priest examined, cleaned, and wrapped in swaddling clothes the newborn lambs. These lambs were designated for sacrifice for the sins of the people at the temple in Jerusalem. The Levitical shepherds knew the prophetic promise of the coming Messiah and the importance of Migdol Adar. They knew the lambs must be without spot or blemish, and it was their job to deliver and watch over them. In Luke 2, the angel of the Lord says to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The priestly shepherds knew exactly where to go. Not just any inn, not to someone's house, not to someone's basement, but to the tower of the flock, to the manger. And so the shepherds came with haste and found the Lamb of God, who was without spot or blemish, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. As we celebrate this Christmas, let us remember the gift of God to all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It wasn't just a stall. It wasn't just a stable. It was called the Tower of the Flock, and it's where the shepherds would stand guard over the temple sacrifice. The angel did not just appear to average shepherds. He appeared to the shepherds who were grooming and birthing and raising the sheep that will be used for temple sacrifice. And when those sheep were born, they would take them to the Tower of Migdol Adar, which was called a manger, which is most likely made of stone. And there the lambs were birthed that would be used for the temple sacrifice. And the shepherds would wrap those sheep in swaddling bands and prepare them so that during birth and during that process, in the flailing, they did not bruise, injure, or hurt themselves, because it had to be a lamb without spot or blemish or any such thing. The shepherds knew exactly where to find the baby. They knew what was promised. They knew it was promised and prophesied, and they knew if there was going to be a Lamb of God born, it would be born in the manger in Bethlehem, in a place called the Tower of the Flock, that the perfect Lamb of Sacrifice was born of a woman and come into the world, Emmanuel, God with us. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story of the birth of Jesus, and how every part of that is orchestrated through the scriptures. The readers already read those scriptures, how they tied it together. A little prophet named Micah prophesies that you, Bethlehem, in the tower of the flock, shall be born the one who will save the people from their sins. That's why Mary pondered all these things in their heart. And the shepherds left that place telling everyone that they met what they had seen and heard abroad as Mary pondered and contemplated. Blessed art thou among women, and you shall see a performance of those things because you believed. Stand with me this morning. Such a beautiful story, but if you miss the part about him being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, then he'll always just be the babe in the manger. Believe. If you can believe for it, all things are possible. We're going to get ready to have the kids come and sing Away in a Manger, if we can still round them all up. So, are the kids ready? Okay. Let's pray while they're bringing them in. Father, once again, we thank you, we honor you, we give you glory for all things which we have heard and seen. Lord, help us that the salutation of our mouth will be one that will cause a stirring in the hearts and the wombs of your people, God. Lord, that we could cause people to see, to reflect, and to know the babe in the manger in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated.